Appreciate Pastor Don and others allowing me to share. I like to share things on my heart, and just an honor to be able to get up here and to share a few things. So I better tell my joke before it goes too much longer. So get things started off right. So there was a husband and wife, and they was getting long ride, and husband said, "Well, I want to take you out to eat tonight." And she said, "Well, that'll be fine. I got to run some errands. I'll meet you at the restaurant." So she goes, and he goes, and she gets halfway down the road. "Oh, I forgot my phone. I don't know where it's at. I lost my phone." And then she remembered she left it at home. Then she remembered, "Well, I got a great husband. I know that he's seen it on the table, and he'll bring it to the restaurant for me." So she calms down. She goes to the restaurant, and husband's there, got a table, and she sees her phone. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you brought it. So what do most people do when they get to their phone? She's got to check her text messages. So she looks at her text messages, and there's just one message. It's from her husband. And he said, "I got your phone. I'll bring it to the restaurant." So I appreciate the way that the Holy Spirit works, some of the songs and testimony today, and prayers kind of all fit into what I've been working on this week. I changed it a little bit and want to share some ideas about modern Israel and our beliefs and differences and repentance and how we need to change. And was originally going to be the golden calves and Jeroboam, but God kind of took me back a little bit before that, so I had to change my title. It's Golden Calves in Modern Day Israel. So I kind of wanted to go with this study for my wife, because I've been working on her to get her convinced of Israel, and she's a wonderful wife, and she knows a lot more scriptures than I do. When we come to knowing the truth on Israel and other races, there's some differences there. So maybe I'll be able to share some of this with her and get her to change her ideas. So that's my prayer. So we're going to talk about what are golden calves and compare them to modern-day Israel, and why should you give up any golden calves in your life. So I'll begin with some information and a scripture reading. So if you want to stand, it's in Exodus 32:1 through verse 4. And it's down at the bottom, and it'll come on up. So, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Make us gods which shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what became of him.' And Aaron said unto him, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me.' For all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned them with a graving tool. After he made a molten calf, and they said, 'These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Okay, you may be seated. So kind of found a nice little picture of how we today worship different gods, different idols in our life, and how it affects us. So why were golden calves worshipped at Mount Sinai? Why are they worshipped in churches today? Well, golden calves represent a symbol about a god. Think about Catholic Church, those symbols, you go in there, you go in a lot of modern churches, you see things on the wall, different symbols representing different gods. Golden calves can be seen as a visual picture of God. Many have pictures of what they believe Christ is like, and this is what they visualize is Christ. They need to see a picture, and when the Antichrist comes, that's what he's going to look like. But we know that he probably didn't quite look like those pictures that they put on the walls. So golden calves are substitute for God. So we know the Antichrist is coming. We know that many idols in the world, people use it as a substitution for God. And golden calves are idols, so they bring them into churches. They worship them outside of churches. And God says he hated idolatry. He hates the golden calves. So does God hate how most Israelites worship today in modern churches? Does he approve of their worship? So Ross, in 2020, has a quotation. Important contrast is that the people who worshiped before the golden calves had personally and recently witnessed some of the greatest miracles God had performed. Yet despite these awesome, numerous miracles they had recently experienced, after 40 days of Moses being absent, they doubted both the existence of God and Moses. After all, they had seen, experienced, and heard, but their lack of faith shouts volumes about the spiritual condition. So the lack of faith today speaks volume about the spiritual condition of Israel. And we read in Exodus 9:5-8, "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do these things in the land, and the Lord that to bring thee on the morrow, and that all the cattle died, and of the cattle the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, Behold, there not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes in the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it before the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh." So we see that when they was in Goshen, the cattle was good. They raised a lot of cattle, and it was familiar to them. So familiarity, they wanted a representation of a calf because it brought comfort to them, just like idols may bring comfort to us because it's something from our past, something that satisfies the flesh. So being raised in the Baptist church, this is a true statement, but most churches teach the way to salvation is to quickly confess that Jesus is Lord, invite him into your heart, and then you're on the way to heaven. This was how I was raised and taught throughout most of my life. After the confession, people are eager and excited to begin studying the Bible and confess following God's way. But as I realized, like Mount Sinai, many people that are witnessed to, they're told in 2 minutes to confess Jesus in their heart. They get all excited and start praying and start reading the Bible and going to church. And then within 40 days, many of them just go back their old ways. Or they're joining a church or they're choosing and be there for 20 years, or some will move around from here to there. But the 40 days, just like Israel, is similar to many Christians. They are not converted, but there's a few that break through. We hear stories. Don broke through, Chuck, everyone here received the truth and their eyes are open and we begin to follow the God of Israel, and that is exciting to me to see that God has a remnant, but it's also saddened. That's one of the reasons I've done the study, is because of the sins of our people, and it saddens me that they don't see the truth, and I pray for many every day that their eyes be open. So we see that modern churches, after salvation, some hang on. it, like I said, God has a small remnant who keeps his covenant and believes in Israel today. So looking at the golden calves, worship anything besides the God of Israel is worshiping idols. These idols provide an entrance into our soul and deceive us in believing they are the way to truth. So people worship idols because they want to see something and they believe it's comfort, and then they believe that this is the truth. Zechariah 10:2, for idols have spoken vanity, and divers have seen a lie and told false dreams. They comforted in vain, therefore they went away as a flock. They are troubled because there is no shepherds. So do modern churches today have a true shepherd to feed them and lead them back to God? So we can see that there's black pastors, women, many other Israelites that are preaching, but are they really true shepherds that will lead us back to the truth? So the colon of the golden calf speaks about false dreams, false hopes. But the story really begins in Genesis. The lies given to Eve by deception of the serpent brought knowledge of good and evil into the world. So we see in 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So Adam and Eve's fall brought into the world wrongful behavior. Believing a lie, they chose what was right and wrong in their own eyes instead of following God's ways. So when one worships idols, their soul believes it's good and acceptable, just like Eve. So I often wondered what was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I began to get a revelation. Some may believe different, but it's like they chose to make their own God instead of serving God. They just chose, this is good, I'm going to do this, this is evil. Just like many people do today, they become deceived. If a person becomes gambling, maybe they will go to a casino and they believe it's good, because I hear people tell me all the time, I'm going to go to a casino, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win a lot of money. And they say, I'm going to give it to the church. So they believe it's good because they're going to do something good with it. And they're putting that as their God, this gambling or an idol, because they deceive themselves believing it's good instead of getting back to God's ways and his commandments. So many Israelite churches follows the ways of the world, desires and pleasures of life instead of the way to eternal life. In 1 John 2:15-18, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last times, and we have heard that Antichrist will come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. So we see that God's saying that those that don't abide in him are not going to have eternal life. But God is a way to eternal life. As we begin to serve him, his laws, commandments, and believe in the covenants that he's made with Israel. For during that time, after their sin, up until the time of Noah, we realized that sin ran rapid, a lot of sexual sins, immorality. There's a little blog out there paraphrasing, came from Olive Tree, wasn't any date. The avalanche of sin in Genesis, Christians tend to assume false points about theology. They fail to recognize the striking originality of the message in Genesis 1 through 11, concentrate on points that may well be of less the moment, but they examine of the wider context of Zeman, thus emphasize the center of sin. Judean churches today have different views about Genesis. If you witness to people, they're going to tell you all types of different stories, take the message out of context. But I'm thankful to God that He has shown me and others in this church the truth, and that we can abide in the truth, the real meaning. So these churches today are led by what is popular in the world. They have to keep increasing their congregation because of finances, programs. They have to present lies that appeal to the emotion and soulish desires of the people. So the churches are always propagating lies. I know many churches propagated, you need to take the vaccine. They thought it was good, and most of the congregation followed along, said, well, it's good to take the vaccine, and they're good and evil. So they're making their own God what is good, and they believe that that is going to be helpful. But as we heard testimony today, it's really evil, the vaccine, and people can't discern from it. That's hard on my heart that people don't see the truth, but they're easily deceived. So they teach excerpts from Genesis and paint a wrong image of the world about the flood, about where everyone came from, that we're all one people. Worldly Christians see things differently. They set their versions of stories in the Bible. So many maybe went to the Ark in Williamstown, and I know some friends that went there, and you walk in and you see all different races in the beginning, but yet when you go there, it's like, okay, you have to look in the context of what you believe. There's some good points there, but just like the world, we have to take the world things around in our context of what we believe and turn away from many things in the world to serve God. So another example is different beliefs of Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4, 1 and 2, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and there bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. While most of us in the Christian identity believe in the seed lines, modern churches reject this idea and we suffer persecution. They condemn us. They accuse Christian identity and others of being part of false doctrine. So we probably all heard that from other people. You teach false doctrine here. Christian identity is false doctrine. So a popular website, which kind of brings out the false doctrine, if you ever go there, I wouldn't advise it, but it's got questions, and they answer different scriptural questions. The following is a paragraph on their belief about the serpent seed line. The site does not even cite the author's name and blast our beliefs. They said in their little blog, the serpent seed doctrine is a belief based on poor Bible interpretations and superstitions. Its primary doctrine, resources for those who want to use the scripture to justify racial prejudice. The serpent seed doctrine is also closely related to erroneous beliefs such as Christian identity, movements, and Kenyanite doctrine. Like many of their false beliefs, it was built in defense mechanism that anyone who disagrees with it is accused of being the son of the serpent. One of the most popular unfortunate problems with the serpent seed doctrine is that it so heavily relies on prejudice and warps biblical interpretation that it can be very difficult to discuss rationally with others. But you see, this is common if you read other areas of modern day teachings, and many believe like that. I know of instances with people who claim it's false doctrine here, and yet they won't listen to any references. So my desire is to reach out to people and try to teach them the truth. A friend of mine said a good way to reach out is to express the law of Moses. If they're eating unclean meat, he said that he reaches people that way. You know, unclean meat is biblically wrong, and kind of starts a conversation. So sometimes you have to go back and not force them on the belief, but start with a point of contention and maybe get them to give up meat. So in Galatians, we're not supposed to listen to this heresy. Galatians 2:4, and that because the false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have seen in Christ Jesus, that they bring us into bondage. So somebody just said that they had a spy or something in, what is it, the earlier? Yeah, came in and brought in spies to spy out what we're doing, and then they tried to infiltrate and change. So 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because mainly false prophets are gone out into the world. So we're commanded to try the spirits of other people and to follow, go back to the truth in the Bible, the truth of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the laws of God. So another contention. So the thought is, as I'm sharing this message, you might see something in your life that needs change. It might be an idol or something where you're in contention, and God may bring some repentance to you or to forgive yourself for these. But we have the curse of Cain, which is really misunderstood by most people in the modern church. In Genesis 9:20-26, and Noah began to be a husband, and he painted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren about it. Shem and Jacob took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Cain, a servant of servants shall be unto his brother. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, the Canaanites shall be his servants. So we begin to see from the curse of Canaan, the Canaanites clan began to form, and it became very wicked people who fought, seduced, and deceived the Israelites for centuries. Many Israelites forsook God's law, intermarried, including Esau. Their intermarriage caused many problems with the true Israelites. And we see that Rachel felt that way in Genesis 26:34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, daughter of Bera the Hittite, and Bashmin, the daughter of Elon Hittite, which were great of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So we know that that Isaac believed in the truth, and it brought great distress that son would intermarry and cause many problems, and we see that that intermarriage has caused many problems. Pew done a study. Pew Research Center. If you want to go to the next page for me. There we go. So there's a graph of a study they done about interracial marriage. Finds that roughly 4 in 10 adults say that more people of different races marrying each other is good. So society believes interracial marriage is good. It rose up from 24% in 2010. So just in a few years, more and more people believe in interracial marriage. The saying, the trend is a bad thing for society is down over the same period from 13 to 9%. So only 9% believe that interracial marriage is a bad thing. And the sharing saying it doesn't make much of a difference for society is also down from 61%. Most of this change occurred, this was done in 2010-13. Opinions remain the same, and I even think they're getting worse about the belief in interracial marriage. So you can see the graph compares. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Doesn't mind much. So misunderstanding the curse of Cain in the Bible has led many people today to believe that black people came from Canaan and acceptance of interracial marriage. Because of this in our society and the church, there's a great schism that exists. So even in modern churches, I know the one my wife attends, or they elected a black lady as an elder, and most churches accept all races in their churches and even in their leadership. So the blog title, What Was the Curse of Cain? Cain, as well as his descendants, followed in the sinful way of their father. The punishment was placed upon the descendants of Canaan, the Canaanites. These are people who were driven out of the promised land by the children of Israel. Consequently, they would be servitude and the descendants of Shem and Japheth. So we see that that was a prophecy, and yet we know that Israel didn't kick everyone out of the land, and they continued to be a problem. Stuart, 2020. Today, one of the most unfortunate instances of misrepresentation of Scripture comes from the passage of curse of Cain. The curse was limited to certain members of the descendants of Ham, and not all of them. It was not a curse against an ethnic group. The Pacific people who were cursed were the descendants of Ham through Canaan. Of the four sons of Ham, only one could possibly have black skin. Although they are North American natives that are included among the sons of Ham. And at least two of them, Put and Egypt, were not black nations. The third, Cush, probably refers to northern Sudan, not modern Ethiopia. And the fourth son of Ham, Canaan, was certainly not black. So there's many beliefs out there that will contradict that, but you can find a lot of people believe that's where different races came from. A note above in the survey, well, the survey to come, so got another survey. Shortly after the flood, Israelite people spread across the land, eventually building a tower to reach heaven. They began to seek mystical gods again. In Genesis 11, 4 and 6, and they said, "Go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach in heaven, and let us make a name." lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they are all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined. So, do this kind of idols affect us today? Today, many Israelites don't even go to a church, or if they go to a church, they're worshiping a false god. So this was a note from Ramsmaya, 2020, stating John Calvin's famously said, the heart is a virtual factory of idols. Idols are our specialty. So idols are especially in the world. We churn them out at a furious rate. Excellent assortment of false gods, deities, and spirits that we cooked up over the century, Zeus, Owen, Mala, and some other real classics. Our capacity is to lie to ourselves about divinity is impressive and extends as wide as creation itself. More impressive, though, is our pantheon of false images of the living and true God. Our hearts still fall in that same satanic group, quickly removing from confessing, I believe in God, to talking about the God I believe in. So we see that modern churches are always talking about a God they believe in instead of believing in the true God. So another study, I found some interesting facts. About idols, modern day idols have significant influence in the U.S. churches today. The survey said that most pastors point to comfort, security, money, and approval as potential idols. Pew say it's 49%. Social influence is important to modern-day churches. Idols in their congregation. Nearly 2 in 5 say political power is an idol in their congregation. And recently, 1 in 3 say sex or romantic love. Another 14% of these pastors say none of these are idols with influence in their church. And 2% say they're not to Pew Survey 2021. So we see that many pastors believe that there's problems in their churches, idols, comfort, social influence, power, and they're constantly dealing with these. So they adapt their message to finances, to support, and they change the doctrine so they can keep the people in the church and even the idols in their churches. So from the results of the survey, some different modern-day idols stood out to pastors of different ethics. While pastors are more likely than African-American pastors to identify political power, 49, verse 29, and approval of idols in their churches, African-American pastors are more likely than white pastors to say these idols are not in their churches. So many black pastors don't even believe idols are infecting their churches. So, but we see and know the difference that it's abomination. So we begin to see that there's a lot of idols in modern day churches and probably idols in our own life that we have come to deal with. As the Golden Calf talks about its comfort, we go serve other things because this is familiarity. We seek comfort. We seek recognition. We want a God that we can see. So we make sports, activities, things of the flesh an idol because we want to enjoy the pleasure of life instead of serve God. So from the Tower of Babel, the Bible turns to Abraham, the righteous person who lived with his father, who was a major idolater worshiper. So Abraham was exposed to idolatry. Abraham chose to believe the true God and presented his beliefs to others. Thus, through warnings, Abraham fled. And thus we see God's favor, the Abrahamic covenant, forming of the 12 tribes. So we see that God does speak to us, to few people, and he will warn us to flee when bad things begin to happen. So we live in a society of idols, and we begin to identify those and turn our hearts from them. Ross says, as with any text of this nature, it's critical to interpret it in the larger context and to understand some of the translation difficulties. The story in Exodus 32 must be understood in the context of God calling Abraham to leave the country and settle in Canaan. Canaan, where three continents came together. The location of Canaan, at the juncture of the world's greatest trading routes, guaranteed that the nations of the world would be exposed to Abraham's descendants and moral standards. So part of the belief of Abraham is to sanctify the living God. And that was a major crossroads there that was supposed to be exposed to the Israelites, that the Israelites were different, special people to God, and other nations was to learn to fear him through their beliefs. So we see even today that we sanctify our God, we exalt him, that other people may come and turn to God, other Israelites may repent and come to God, and other races may recognize that people of God are different. People of Israel are different. So at the same time, we see that Abram was sent, was full of different idolatries, including the descendants of Canaan. Got a few scriptures left. So in Genesis 12, 1 through 5, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse thee that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother, and all the substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. So we see that God says Abraham's descendants are to be a blessing to the earth, and that was his purpose through us, is to be a blessing, to take back the dominion that he has given to us, to see changes come. So we see that we're thankful that Abraham chose to leave and that he made a covenant with us, that we have this covenant through Abraham, Isaac, and that we are God's special people. And when that revelation came to me, as with most of you, it kind of opened our eyes to saying, wow, we're so thankful for that. So we look at their sons, Jacob and Esau, selling the birthright, Esau marrying into foreign cultures. So from previous lessons taught by Don and others, the hatred of the descendants of Ebonites continues today in our society and modern churches. So I'm not going into that much, but you can reference many sermons here on Edomites and go back and see the damage they are doing today. Just a few comments. So called Christians today sell their birthright and accept the belief of interracial marriage are good, with most not accepting or believing the chosen race of Isaac's seed as being a deception, that they're in the land of Israel, the Jews. The modern church, like Esau, is missing the major blessings from God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and has developed the hatred of our true white Israelites. So we see that in modern day, how the hatred is coming more and more against the whites and even against churches that believe like we do. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourself from idols. So last year I taught a little bit on idolatry. Idols are images, either physical, man-made items meant to be worshipped, or images in our mind which are ungodly or emotional attachments. God forbids the worship of idols or other gods as stated in the Ten Commandments. So we see that is there idols in your life? Is any of the tendencies of modern day churches still flowing in your minds? In Deuteronomy 7:25-26, idols of abomination. The graven images of the God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that's on them, nor take them, lest thou be snared therein. For it is abomination to the Lord thy God, neither shalt thou bring an abomination in thy house, lest thou be cursed thing like it. But thou shalt lay detest it, and thou shalt lay hoard it, for it is a cursing thing. So, how do we get set free? Getting set free. There's a little story I didn't put in here. I may have told last time, but there was a prayer meeting going on, and a fellow had a back problem for many years. And as they was praying, the fellow seen a image from Africa of a black person sitting in his house. And he asked him about it, and he said, well, I was a missionary, and I brought it home. And they said, you should get rid of it. So they went out and buried it, destroyed it, buried the rest of it under a lot of dirt. Went back in, and the guy was jumping up and down because the curse had been lifted, because he brought something in his house that was a cursed thing. And by God's destruction of destroying the image, he was set free. So we know that idols can bring in bad things into a person's life, especially if we bring them into our home and set them up high where people can see and worship them. So how do we get rid of idols? Well, if there's something in your house, you may want to go to destroy it. But the main thing is to repent. Ezekiel 14:6, therefore say to the house of Israel, thou saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from idols and turn away your faces from all their abominations. With repentance, we can break ungodly attachments with man-made idols. We can destroy them from our lives. So, growing up, and after even I got married, bowling was an idol for me. And I would bowl three or four nights a week on teams, and even on weekends I skipped out on churches and went to bowling tournaments, and I thought that was good, even though a lot of bowlers participate in other sins. They drink, gamble, and talk about women all the time, but that didn't seem to bother me. I never got into drinking or smoking or talking about bad jokes, but that was around me, and it took many years to break through from that until God woke me up one day and told me that was an idol. My wife said, yay, get rid of bowling. She was happy. So I was league secretary, and about the week before league started, I said, I'm not going to bowl this year. I'm giving it all up. And started spending more time at home, which was a blessing to my kids. And after I repented and I destroyed the evil that was before me and began to see more blessings come to me, wasn't throwing away my money, time, and effort. So Hosea 13:4, yet I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt serve no god but me, for there is no Savior but me. So we all have idols in the past. They be brought out when we pray for repentance. We have to forgive ourselves also. So in our counseling that me and my wife have done over years, we teach the cross. And there's three ways of forgiveness. One is to forgive God. And one is to forgive others. And the circle around is to forgive yourself. So what I've always learned in my prayers is to do three areas of forgiveness at times. I always pray to forgive those that affected me, that caused me to get into sin. So I had to pray, forgive some of my friends that brought me into bowling. Forgive them for their influence in my life. So many times to set free, you have to forgive others that have influenced you. Release them. Of course, we confess to God for forgiveness, and then we have to ask God to forgive us for any way this sin, any way this influence causes us to sin. So we all have, we've been exposed to idols in the past, or maybe some still today. Some idols that the survey brought out, and some other ones were comfort items. My wife loves chocolate, so she's always breaking free. She gets set free, and then temptation will come back, and now she's down to one a day of chocolate instead of the whole bag. But if I leave a whole bag there, it's gone. But she's doing better. She's putting it away. So food can be an addiction if you're unhealthy eating. Of course, we know pork and others are sins. And we have repented of that from the past. But sometimes certain foods can be comfort food. Control or security can become idols. We control things for our own security, and they become idols. So some people are totally fixed on security. I know that my brother, he likes to, we got a knob on the building. He'll check it. So he's always, my mom was that way, a worrier, but he always had to make sure the door was closed. So sometimes we think of security, things we do instead of trusting God. Money can become an idol. We worship the dollar. Story about a person that he was a famous author, and he made quite a bit of money, but one of the richer people came to him and he said, I'm going to show you how to make lots more money, lots more money. And the person looked at him and he said, well, I don't need the other money. I said, I got one thing that you'll never have. What's that? I got lots of money. He said, I have peace. He said, people that desire money continue to desire money, continue to desire money. They're always looking, make more. God wants us to be content in where we're at and not to strive to be better and better and better, to go after more money. So that can become an idol. Social media, the internet is an idol. Any more pictures they throw up or wrongful pictures, they just pop up all of a sudden for some reason. I guess it's the way that they control us. So I don't even have, I got a Facebook, but just once in a while I check my kids, and I quit reading all the news on the phone and just use it for driving and the Bible app that's on there. So media, political power, we recognize that in Congress, right? Becomes power to them, power grab, idols, sex and porn, or portals, video games, sports. Like I said, mine was bowling. So just in closing, I give a lot of examples of modern day Christians, Israelites, have turned from the true God. How modern day Christians are worshiping golden calves as idols. It's important to repent of any golden calves attached to your life. Turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Destroy the work of the enemy from your life. So I just encourage you to think about differences of modern day churches and our beliefs, and if there be anything in your life that's associated with some ungodly abominations, idolatry, other situations, to think about it, to ask God to forgive you, to become more holy. So I appreciate the time of sharing today, and I pray that I'll be able to talk to my wife more about this lesson and maybe convince her